of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
You hang out with the Vambillies, Danny Vambilly in the building, not alone, right next to me. It's the lovely Lady V. Hello, Mama Leticia.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm strong. How are you doing?
I'm great, especially given, well, I don't know. Today's topic is not for feeling great. It's for the time when you have the questions. It's for the real conversations.
It's for the real conversation. What are we talking about?
Today we're asking the question, did God fail you? Okay, so we know that whenever we think about our relationship with God from like an airy-fairy place, everything is great. He answers you, you get where you're supposed to go, and all the nice blessings are there. But the truth is, the walk with God can sometimes come with questions where you're sitting, you're waiting for this prophetic word or you're waiting for this promise and it's just not coming. And you've gotten to the place where you're like, okay, God, did you fail me? So if you joined us last week, we spoke at length about how the Israelites were being tested in the wilderness, such that Moses estimated the journey in the wilderness would take 11 days. Yes, 11 days. This journey, as we know, ended up taking them 40 years. That's about 4 years per day. We don't often talk about how our decision-making affects the swiftness of the problem coming, or the promise rather, coming to pass. The promise will always be available for us, but when and how is often determined by our decision-making along the way. So, did God fail us, or is it just not yet time for the promise to come to pass? Or do we need to look back at the word that we received to evaluate what happened since we last spoke to God?
You know, sometimes this process to the promise is filled with so much failure, or what looks like failure. And if you're sitting there today and maybe you're thinking, has God failed me? We'd like to invite you to join us for this conversation. And if you know someone else who might be in that position, invite them to tune in. You hang out with Danny and Leticia, 071-364-0376, if you want to talk to us.
You're listening to the beautiful sounds of Katie Nicole with Jesus Changed My Life. It's time for the recap. So if you were listening in yesterday between 6 and 6:30 p.m., you would have heard us discussing this topic uninterrupted. So if we do a little bit of a recap on what it's all about, we wanted to talk about how the journey to the promise is paved with disappointment and sometimes failure, right, babe?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it can really look like nothing is happening, you know, and if we look at it from the perspective of someone like Noah, you know, because we've got the full picture, we can say Noah waited on God and 80 days or 80 years later, there was rain. But from his perspective, for 80 years, nothing happened.
He must have looked insane. He must have become like that senile man in the community running around saying, water's gonna fall from heaven. And people will be like, you know what? Noah used to be wise.
Yeah, once upon a time, we knew that guy and he made sense.
Yes. What happened to him?
Maybe it's his wife's fault. You know?
As usual.
As usual. You know, and maybe there is someone listening right now, and that's your story. You know God gave you a word. You know you've been patient. You know you're walking in obedience, but currently it just seems like failure.
I think one thing that we take for granted and that you see in Noah's relationship with God and his story is that the person that is given the promise is not the person who can sustain the fulfillment of the promise.
What do you mean by that?
It means that the day God appears to you and says to you, Danny, you are a king, and my promise to you is you will rule such and such a kingdom, you are not yet a king. And so between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise is the preparation, the character building to become the person that can rule. Because imagine if God gave Noah the word and it rained the next day. The ark wasn't even built.
Even Noah was going to drown.
That's what I'm talking about. You are not the person that can sustain the promise the day you receive the promise. So when we get a prophetic word, it's almost like the Lord saying, we're about to start something. And it's going to lead you to become the person that can carry this word.
Sure. So maybe in where you're sitting, you need to change your perspective and ask yourself if the failure or what seems like failure is actually the journey of preparation that I need to go through to sustain the promise that God has put on my life.
Yep. Remember that you can reach us this morning, 071-364-0376.
Has God failed you?
And Wilson with the sounds of God thing. We keep feeling like we're cowboys.
Yeah, howdy.
With our cowboy hats.
Wow. Mama Letty, where do we take this conversation from here?
You know, it's the difference between what we paint our lives to be like versus God, what God has ordained the life to actually be like. Mm. It's nice to speak about the rewards, the blessings, the finality of the promise and what God has done. But I think where a lot of us believers actually fail and fall off is when we're waiting, is when we're feeling like God hasn't done what he told us to do. And I'm going to segue out a little bit, but this is where we join other religions and we start seeking for mediums and we start going into huts for prophetic words. Because horoscopes, we start
we start
mixing now because we think that God has failed us. But we act like we know what the promise will entail. You know, in as much as Joseph was told that the brothers would bow to him, he didn't know under which context they would bow to him. He didn't know about the famine at the time that he received the promise. So everything he was going through leading up to the famine was preparing him to not just be the person who could lead Egypt in that time, but it was also preparing him to have the stance that he needed to have with his family. We've got more examples of such people in scripture, right?
Yeah, we can look at Abraham and Ishmael. I mean, think about it. There came a point where Abraham had to think, man, we tried to help God. Have we failed? Have we now lengthened the time of waiting? Will we still get the promise through our own womb? Even though we have messed up and have brought an innocent child into the situation.
Yeah.
And these things happen in our journey. You probably have made a mistake and it looks like, man, this is the end. But guess what? This isn't the time for you to commit suicide. This isn't the time for you to give up on your business. This isn't the time for you to give up on your marriage. Instead, give God the opportunity to let your story unfold. Is there any other failures we can touch on, Letitia?
I would definitely say Ruth. It's occurred to me recently that the zeal with which Ruth followed Naomi and then found her Boaz did not come out of nowhere. There must have been a divine intervention. There must have been a push in the spirit to say, you know, there's more for me than widowhood. But when Ruth was younger and when she had other promises from God about her husband and her life, she didn't see death. She didn't see that she would become a widow before the fulfillment of the actual promise. And so widows, what you have to understand that was so powerful with Ruth, because like we often say on this show, it's nice to hear about it. It's often terrible to live it. Ruth didn't lose a husband. Widows lose communities because your friendships are based on this marriage. And so what is it that gave this woman a push beyond death, right? At least Abraham was waiting for life. Ruth here was facing the death of an entire identity. And so essentially what we're saying is that this age-old thing that people say, that when it becomes practical, it's much harder than it looks like. The higher the building, the deeper the foundations. The foundation, guys, is messy. There is no foundation work. Have you seen these handymen and workers doing the foundations of a building?
They look messy.
They're dirty. They're messy. They've got the book, the boots. There's the tractors that are tearing up these roots and crevices. And so when we think about waiting on God, think of yourself as a foundation. Mm. And that the higher this thing has to go, the lower you have to go. And that's what failure looks like. It's going deep into the foundations to set up what will be the pillars and the upholding of the structure.
So we are asking you today, has God failed you, or are you on a journey? You know, and we're looking at all these different people. What if Abraham decided, I've messed up so bad, or Sarah, because it was her suggestion that her husband has a child with a mate. What if Sarah said, you know, I've messed up so much that I'm taking my own life?
Lord.
Think about it, guys.
Wait on the Lord.
Some of us are doing that. Some of us are giving up too soon, not realizing that God can handle any type of failure that you bring His way. So, can I encourage you today to submit your failures to God, to really trust Him, not just with the good stuff, not just with the days when you feel good, but with the days where you've messed up so bad and you think this is an end, when it's just a bend. We hang out with you and you can WhatsApp us on 071-364-0376. We need to know, how did you overcome failure? And how did you trust God again after feeling He let you down?
Lauren Daigle with Thank God I Do. We're talking about failure this morning, whether God has failed you or me. But Danny, I want to ask you if there was ever a time you felt God failed you, and how did you get through that?
Wow, this is actually a very interesting question, because for a very, very long time in my life, I was someone who continuously was facing failure in business. You know, and it's really so ironic that today I'm known for being successful in business and being self-employed, and you know, we employ a lot of people and all of that. But for a long time, in a season, or a season that felt like forever.
That wasn't a season, that was a lifetime.
For a lifetime. It just felt like God kept taking me through one business failure to the next business failure. And it would be like different types of adventures where I would pray and God would confirm, and I'd go into this thing and then it just wouldn't work. And at some point in my life, you know, like your heart gets hardened. And I started thinking, man, maybe God is just toying with me. You know, maybe He's not serious with me. Or maybe it's me. I'm hearing Him wrong, you know, because I couldn't see anything else but failure in that season. Now, something weird happened a few years later. When the Lord called me and my wife to start a business together, it was almost like suddenly my wife once randomly said something. She was just like, you know, my wife, Lady V, the one sitting next to me, yeah, that lady over there. She said to me, she's like, Danny, business is so easy. You know, we just keep making the right decisions. And I remember looking at her thinking, wait a minute. We're not making the right decisions. We're just not repeating the wrong decisions I've made in the past. Mm. And it was at that moment that the Lord told me, you see, I was teaching you how to not make bad decisions. Mm. So that when this moment comes, you are better prepared and you can see bad things coming from afar. Mm. And suddenly it made sense that 5 or 6 years of my life where things went wrong, where disappointment after disappointment, I was let down by people I trusted, or sometimes, you know, we did every single thing right the way we prayed and it still failed. Mm. And God just took all of that and said, son, I was just preparing you for this season of your life.
You know, you made business so easy for me. I was like, oh my goodness, everything's just flowing so well. And you gave me that look. You look like Esau. You look like a wild man. Like, what is this woman talking about? And it was so interesting because now my experience of business is without all these failures. The business that we run, it's my first business. I've never attempted to have a business. And I felt so privileged, you know, because you had so much knowledge. You would be like, let's do this, let's not do this, let's market this way. And I'd be like, but this guy is just a genius. And it was only after, like, he linked the failures to the lessons that made him this good, that I was like, oh goodness. So you don't get to have an easy way learning. You learn failing. You fail forward. That's what you say, right? Fail forward.
You fail forward. And I'm always worried about the people right now who are going through that process, you know, because I feel like 10 years ago, the world was a different place. You know, things like, you know, ending your life was rare. But we're living in a time where, you know, every other day you're hearing about people giving up completely. And I've asked myself, I'm like, Lord, what if there's someone right now whose journey hasn't even started? Like, you thinking this is the end, and God is like, son or daughter, I've not even started with the plans that I have for your life. Because how many times, Letitia, have we found ourselves doing things that we didn't even know we were called for?
Yeah.
You know, and you'll find God saying, no, 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 this season of failure prepared you to accommodate people who are maybe homeless right now.
Yeah.
And the other season of failure helped you to accommodate people who don't have jobs right now. Because we've went through a season where God told us to not work at all. And we had to live by grace, you know? And to other people, it looked like, hey, these people,
irresponsible.
They're irresponsible. They're lazy. They don't want to work and all of that. But we're saying all of this to say, embrace your process. There is something God is taking you through that will bring you out good.
Yes.
Trust Him. You will come out good. Oh, man. Martin Smith waiting here for you live. And they just had to put that majesty right at the end.
Beat of Life with Impact 103.
We're talking about how waiting on the Lord can sometimes feel like failure. I want to bring a perspective to this conversation to say that wanting to escape the pain, wanting to escape the hardship and the lack of your journey to the promise steals from you spiritually. Okay, there are spiritual principles that we cannot run away from. And when we read the Word of God with revelation, we come across a lot of these spiritual principles. One of them is that whatever you conquer, you rule. We see it through Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 33 says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." I'm going to link that to Revelation 19, verse 13, where Jesus is referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You cannot lord over something you have not conquered. And so a lot of the times, this leads us to a misunderstanding of why we are where we are. We need godly revelation for what the situation is and who we're called to be. And I'm going to use two examples in scripture. I think we're in our Moses season. We're in our Moses grind because he keeps coming up. Moses was not in Pharaoh's house so that he could be the orphan who finally found the family. Because you need to understand that these were part of some of Moses' trials with the Lord, having told him, go back to the kingdom that took care of you, go back to the kingdom that raised you and dismantle it. You can imagine that convo was, but God, they took care of me. Am I not failing Egypt? Yes. Am I not fearing the Pharaoh lineage? Because a Pharaoh took care of me. A Pharaoh made me a son in the house. You guys know the movie, Prince of Egypt. So he became a prince by all accounts. Until God could reveal to Moses that he was actually sent into Pharaoh's house as a spy to learn the system from the inside so that he could dismantle it. Honey, this isn't even something I've told you yet, but I watched a video recently that said, every single one of the 10 plagues were directly linked to the Egyptian gods, linked to those plagues. So, for example, the plague of the firstborn sons was there's a goddess that they worship, the goddess of fertility.
Oh, wow.
So by taking the firstborn sons, he was challenging their god to the Egyptians to say, your god is not more powerful than me because I've taken your sons. The blood, they have a god of blood and water. So every single plague was directly challenging the Egyptians. And so Moses could have had this crisis of, why was I actually there? You are there to dismantle. The same is true for Esther. At the moment of her saying, God, but I'm gonna die. I'm here to be queen. I'm gonna die. What did God do? God had to show Esther, you are not in the palace to be queen and to be pampered. You are there for a time such as this. And then, of course, lastly, we see it with Jesus as well, where at the cross, the pain is just too much. And he says, God, why have you forsaken me? Another word for God, why have you failed me? But I believe that spiritually, even for Jesus, there was a perspective that you are here for a time such as this. So the question is, are you failing in business, or is God allowing you to code every realm of the business world so that you can own businesses? Wow. That's the question.
And then also in marriage, you know, a lot of us feel like we have failed in marriage, you know, and God is probably preparing you, you know. You don't see people sitting here and talking like we do without us going through stuff together, without us learning how to cope in the different stages of our marriage, you know. So it's always funny for us when someone looks at us or tells us, yo, but you guys have it together. We're thinking, no. We have had the healthy fights. We have had to sit each other down. We have thought, no, man, maybe this will not work out.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, have gone back and trusted God to be the center of our marriage. And this is why when we meet couples who are struggling in their marriage, we're not quick to dismiss the union. We're not quick to say, listen, this won't work out. But instead, having seen God restore others, we can look at you and say, listen, there is restoration available for you. Because if God could do it for us, God could do it and can do it for you. The same goes for business. The same goes for personal growth. Don't give up on yourself, man. Don't think, look, I am a failure. Going through failure does not make you a failure. And thinking God has failed you is also not the right perspective. Maybe it's just part of your journey.
Seventh time down with By Faith. You're still with the Vambilis and we're about to read your messages. We have a few messages from you guys this morning. One says, hello, thank you for your show. I had two businesses, 5 years apart. Last one was about 7 years ago. That didn't work out. Did it to me and my kids at home. Okay, so it was a home business. I'm still scared and nervous about starting again. This time, a true passion of mine. The idea of having a business that I prayed about constantly, and it still wasn't bringing in enough money. God did spare me of financial ruin, but it still feels that I trusted for a good outcome, and despite all the hard work, money, etc., a failure. But I don't give up easily. To hear you say that you also had failures and now are doing good gives me hope. This is from Anonymous.
Well, someone else said, blessed morning. I wouldn't say I have blamed the Lord for my failures. I guess I would remind him of what promises he made in his word. All right. And then she says, I remembered I would cry to him to make things better, and it would seem like I'm not being heard. But later it would be like, wow, so this is why you didn't allow me to pass through there. Or this is why you allowed me to be robbed there. Oh, so I learned, I'm still learning to appreciate Romans 8 verse 28 process and trust the Lord when it doesn't make sense to me. I must say it's a journey and a half, but it gets easier with practice. That's from Lufuno.
And you know that Romans 8 verse 28 is all things will work out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. The next message says, thanks guys, I was struggling with taking care of people unemployed and needed accommodation because of past hurts and stabbing me in the back. God bless.
And that's from Sandra. And then this last one says, last year I was so hopeful that my boyfriend would get a job at a very good company and it looked so promising, just for it to then not happen. I went from so hopeful, excited and happy to disappointed and discouraged. Angry at God, and I've been angry at him ever since, but I'm starting to realize that he has a plan and his plan is not always my plan.
One of the questions from the same person was, hello, is there perhaps a recording of yesterday's discussion and the one we're discussing right now? So I'm going to answer it for everybody. If you want to see today's discussion, you can see it on Impact Radio's YouTube channel. It's called Impact Online. So on your YouTube, type in Impact Online and you can watch today's show in studio. If you want to see last night's show, the uninterrupted one between 6 and 6:30, you can go to our personal YouTube channel, which is Surviving Life with the Vambilis, and you can watch that there.
Awesome, awesome. And then Steve just said, hello, my people. Today you are talking to me. I'm employed and also pursuing business for myself. It's not easy, but I love what you said. Embrace the process. And that's from Steve.
You know, Danny, before you said that we're able to do what we do because we've gone through the difficulties. And I have to say, one of the promises we had was that we would work together in ministry and that we would deal with marriages. And I thought that meant we were just going to have the perfect marriage, that that God, if God bestows upon me
to
the
what?
Mental...
With other marriages.
With other marriages. I never in a million years thought there would be a time in my marriage where I'm like, nah, fam, I'm out. This is too much for me. And the optimism of how you see your journey versus how God has ordained your journey is the difference maker. It's the big, big difference makers. And a lot of the times, I'm going to use an example. When we pray for a husband or wife, this is depending on who you are, we trust God for the husband. And then he starts taking you through the process of becoming a wife.
Whew.
And you get angry at God. So it's like saying, I want to be an engineer, but you're in matric.
Yeah.
What must happen between matric and your qualification as an engineer? A bunch of tests. Maybe NFSAS didn't pay. Maybe you need to find a bursary. Maybe you failed a module. That's how you think of God's promises, and that makes it feel like he's preparing you and not like he's failing you.
I had an idea, and I believe the Holy Spirit dropped it in my spirit this morning, and he just said, imagine starting at grade one, okay? And I wish they did this to all of us. Like at grade one, they brought us like your final exam that you're going to write in matric. And they gave it to you and they said, okay, write this exam. And I know most of us will fail dismally. Like you will just fail. But as you're going through the years, they send you back to visit it again. You know, where maybe in grade one, you understood nothing on that paper. By grade seven, you'll understand a few things on it. By grade 11, you'll be looking at this paper saying, this makes sense. And by matric,
you can tackle it.
You can tackle that paper. That is your life. There are things right now that you've tackled wrong, that does not make sense. But guess what? The Lord is prepping you and he's the best teacher. He's not the easiest teacher.
But he's the best.
But he's the best teacher. Someone actually said to me yesterday, he's like, yo, we forgot that we're following a God who sacrificed his son. And I was like, oh, man.
Perspective.
We all have to make a certain sacrifice. And we will be sacrificed for the greater good. Some of you will go through hardship so your children don't have to.
Amen.
Some of you will have to break boundaries so the next generation doesn't have to, so that they can eat the fruit of what God has for your generation. So don't give up. Hang in there. Be strong and do not fear.
Remember, if you want to send through your messages, you can still do so on 071-364-0376.
Encouraging us to not have fear. And yeah, man, it is just, it's the truth, man. When you are walking in a journey and things don't seem like they're falling into place, it's easy to go into fear. But hey, guys, we all have been there. So I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to tell you this story from two different angles. All right. I was praying for a wife, and one of my friends who's very prophetic told me God showed her my wife. And she looked at me. This is like an older Afrikaans lady, Rosa, her name is. And she was like, Danny, I don't know, but the Lord showed me the face of your wife. But there's something about her having a lot of hair. And I don't know what this even means. Why would God show me your hair? But I thought, okay. So we'll wait for someone with a lot of hair. Letitia, what's your story?
Okay, so this time that you're talking to Ruesa, I'm in a whole other country. I'm working, I'm living my life. And what did she say particularly about the hair? That it wasn't just big, it was in a certain state. It was natural.
It was natural.
Afro. She saw a big afro. And at the time that I was overseas, I was going through an identity crisis. So I had had relaxed hair since I was like 7 years old. So while I was in Europe, I started realizing, oh my goodness, like, I don't want to have hair like everyone else, because I was a minority suddenly. And this need to be African, like, I started listening to Ringo, like, I was listening to Miriam Makeba. I was trying to figure out, like, where is my blackness? And then I just had this feeling, you know what, I'm gonna go on a journey, I'm gonna cut off my relaxed hair, I'm gonna go natural, I'm gonna get an afro. And this ended up becoming our business, what we do today. But also, it proved to me and Danny that when you get the promise and when you walk the promise, you're not even the same person. So what's interesting with us is I've known Danny since I was 6 years old and he was 10 years old. But the prophecy about his wife came at a time when I was ready to move in a way that you could even see me. Because if you're told your wife has big natural hair, but I'm not listening to the Lord saying, go natural.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm, by the way, I'm not giving a prophetic word about natural hair. No. This is just our story. I don't want anyone to say she's giving a prophetic word. No, I'm saying you got this word. And then where I was, I got the prompt to go natural.
Yes.
Without any conversation with anybody.
So if you and I met on the day that God gave me the word,
I'm
you
not
wouldn't
the one.
Even have looked
Gosh.
As the person the Lord had spoken about. So you even were in a different country.
Yeah.
So we're saying this to say that when God releases the promise versus you walking into the fullness of the promise may not look the same. You are not that person.
What we actually saw when we discussed the story was the domino effect of obedience.
Yes.
How we expect God to fulfill his promises, but we don't want to listen to his instructions. And how something as small as change your hair is what the Lord had already told my husband would be my appearance. We actually know a couple, a wonderful couple, whose testimony about how they met is that morning the wife was getting ready for work. She was single at the time. And she asked the Holy Spirit what to wear. And she really wanted to wear something green. And the Holy Spirit said, absolutely not. She had to wear the red dress. When she got to work, she met this man at reception. And he was looking at her like he'd seen a ghost. So in the future, this ends up being her husband. But this is his testimony. This is what he told us. He said, when he woke up that morning, the Lord said to him, you're going to meet your wife today and she will be the woman in the red dress. The domino effect of obedience.
So while you're in that place and you're thinking to yourself, look, I am stuck and maybe I failed, look back at the last thing God told you to do. Because guess what? The last thing God told you to do is connected to your next step.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that next step leads to a failure that leads you a step closer to the promise, or it leads you directly into the promised land, make sure you are in positioned in obedience. Are we good, Letitia?
Yeah, no. Obedience is something you must process, you know, because God asks you to do back things. But no, I'm good. I'm good with obedience.
Right, a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be back.
103.
All right, so we are still hanging out with you and asking if God has failed you. And I want to touch on something. There's no failure that hits the heart like the failure that comes after God has performed a miracle. Because we believe that, you know, if God has really come through for us, and maybe you've gotten that dream job, or you've gotten that dream business going, after a word came out, you expect things to go well. So when things now go wrong, oh man, you will sit there and say, you'll question your whole existence. You'll question your faith. You'll question even the pastors and the people that give you
the prophets.
Word. Yeah, you'll think, you're like, you know, maybe this Christianity thing is not
scam.
Real. Maybe I was scammed. Now, what becomes confusing is because you did experience the miracle. You did see God come through. So what do we make of this? Why am I sitting here after a word that actually did come from God and was confirmed? Why am I sitting in failure? Now, we see this summarized in Psalms 105, 26, verse 37. Now, I want you to picture this. You are Moses, right? Your stick turned into a snake. You yourself ran away. You were like, this God miracle here is definitely going to change Pharaoh's heart. Then you show up, you make your snake thing happen, and Pharaoh also makes his snake things happen. So this great miracle that you thought will make things move doesn't work. And you go back to God, and God says, okay, cool, we'll do darkness this time. You go and you make darkness happen, and Pharaoh still says no. You call locusts. Pharaoh still says no. Next miracle, blood. Like water turns into blood. All the fish die. Pharaoh still says no. And these happens over and over. So imagine, miracle, grapevines dry up. You go to Pharaoh, it's a no. So how many of us are experiencing those consistent no's after miracles? Mm-hmm. After God comes through? The heartbreak, man, this is heartbreaking stuff. Where you're like, but God, you spoke, you came through, the miracle happened. Why are we sitting here without food? Why are we sitting here stuck in the old job? And those things together can make the heart sick. The book of Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Yeah.
Sure. You know, you're referring to Psalm 105, verses 26 to 37. And it goes through all the things you said, all the plagues of Egypt. Verse 37 actually says, the Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold, and not one among the tribes of Israel even stumbled. You know, even though they came out with silver and gold, how many disappointments had they gone through? And this refers to something Lufuno just sent us. She said, shoo, I hear you clearly. Being a trailblazer has its own pecs, but oh boy, it's not for the faint. When others model after you, there's normally this belief that the success automatically of the success without fully comprehending the process the Lord took you through. You know, sometimes God has to show the full might of his hand. And this is what he says about Moses and about Pharaoh. show, that he wanted to show his full might. So when we see the glory of other people, we cannot begin to comprehend the level of failures that they have gone through before getting to a place where you can even see them as being glorious. I think any person listening to us right now who has a business understands this thing.
Yes.
Because there are months where you are proper failing.
Mm.
But in the forefront, you look like a running, successful business. And that's what the promise can look like sometimes, that you are waiting on the Lord. I see the hands. You are waiting on the Lord, but you are also in a process with the Lord. And a lot of people don't see that process, and your wins discourage them.
Wow. And one thing I want to touch on here is when you see the gold and the silver, and you're like, man, this looks beautiful. You don't see what they overcame.
Mm.
And now you maybe right now are being called to be the overcomer.
Come on.
To do the overcoming. Don't give up. Do not give up. Be the Moses who goes back after like a massive failure, after a massive disappointment, after you feel like, God, come on. Darkness did not work, man. Why are you sending me there? Are you making a fool out of me? God is saying, no, no, no. I'm not making a fool out of you. I'm building your CV.
Kalu Consulting. Calculated precision. Impact 103. Let the music come alive.
Dear Moses and Moselina, tuning into 103 FM, have you done what God told you to do 40 years ago? Has he failed you? Or are you in a place of disobedience? We'll be back. The Cold Chaser, Jesus in Me. Glory, shine. Still with the Van Bellies. On Impact 103.
We've been looking at the topic, did God fail me? And the perspective has been, no, God hasn't failed you. You're just on a process to the journey that makes you equipped to carry what the journey brings. Let's flip it a little bit. Some of us are a bunch of, what did you call it? Moses and Moselinas?
Yes, Moses and Moselinas.
Where whenever you encounter the feeling of, God, did you fail me? Go back to the last thing God told you. Because you can see the faithfulness of God. So I'm going to use Jesus as an example, right? My Father, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, do you actually remember that it's God that sent you to the cross? Mm. If you are at the cross where you're supposed to be, God hasn't failed you. But if you're not at the cross where you're supposed to be, then perhaps it's you that's failing yourself. Because to not do the last thing God told you to do is to delay the promise. We see it with the Israelites. We mentioned it in the beginning of the show. An 11-day journey took 40 years. Not because God was trying to prepare them. No. But because of their own disobedience in the journey and the decision-making process. You actually see this, babe, when they encounter the giants in the promised land. The lack of faith, the lack of obedience, the lack of trust that we see in the desert is what makes them bring a bad report.
Mm.
Because it's a sign of what happens when you reach your promise, but you're not ready.
Mm.
You don't conduct it the way that you should. These guys had not built the muscle to believe that God could take them to defeat giants. So we see in their example that when you don't go through the process, you fail. When you don't go through the process, you fail. So we are all at a place where we have to ask God, are we where we're supposed to be? And you're just making us the people we need to be? Or are we completely off the mark? This is the question you need to ask yourself today. What was the last thing God told you? And are you there? Because you can cry for a job in Tswane all you want, right? But you know the last thing God told you was move to the Eastern Cape.
Oof.
So now why are we crying when we haven't done the thing that could provide what we're waiting on the Lord for? So that's my question. I just want to be like, I want to play angel's advocate. I don't say devil's advocate because no. I want to play angel's advocate and say, You actually haven't done what you're supposed to do. And we see it with Moses again, right? 40 years later, same word.
See, so if you are sitting in a place of disobedience, this is our repentance time. We're coming together as a family, as an Impact family. There's no judgment, all right? There's correction. So if you are sitting there at home and you are in a place of disobedience, 0713640376. Just privately send that Moses or Moselina. And you just send it here. And I always ask you guys when there's a poignant point going across and you are meant to call yourself out, I ask you to message, because I want you to call yourself out so that you can account and say, guys, I am in a position of disobedience. But because we have called it out, I'm going to walk away from this and seek the Lord and do the last thing He told me to do. So it doesn't help to sit in a place of disobedience. And I understand something. Sometimes it's fear. There's a message we read earlier where someone said, I failed at this before, so I'm afraid to start again. Now, we're saying, we understand that as humans, we can relate. But Moses, Moselina, you need to walk on water again. You need to do the last thing God told you to do. If God said to you, He's calling you to set His people free, you need to stop saying you stutter and actually take that move. So we're not going to read your names out. This is a private in-house matter. We're not going to put it on air, but it's just a step for you to say, man, I'm calling myself out. So you send your WhatsApp on 0713640376. I see a Moselina coming in. Just to account and say, going forward, I am going to walk by faith. Because there's that one scripture for me that says, the just shall walk by faith. All of us are going to walk by faith, and we're not going to let the disappointments that came after the miracles to completely shut us down. We're coming back one more time to say goodbye, so we'll be checking out all your messages. The song is called Too Many Times by The Color. How many times have we walked in disobedience?
You're still with the Vambilis, and it's unfortunately that part of the show where we have to love and leave you.
Yeah, it's been a hot one, eh?
They're always hot. They're always amazingly hot. So you have to have your... I know it's winter, but you need a fan for these shows, I think.
And I think it's just so good to be able to relate and be real with everyone, you know, and no one putting up a facade like everything is fine, you know? Mm-hmm. So our Moselinas and our Moseses, we love you guys.
Remember that you can catch us next week between 11 and 1 p.m. on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on Impact 103.
So, what are we talking about next week?
Ooh, next week. The topic is called, Do You Know Your Enemy? 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 9 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. You know, there really is an enemy. We like to live like there isn't one, but there really is an enemy. And this enemy is always looking to destroy the children of God, but defeating Goliath, Pharaoh, Jezebel, Saul, and even Haman did not have the same strategy. God gives divine wisdom on how to deal with specific enemies. So the question is, do you know what's fighting you? Do you know your enemy?
Wow. And if you are in a position where you are not standing in faith, I think we're going to close off and just pray for everyone who's who's messaged and stuff.
And right before we pray, I also just want to remind everyone that the live shows in studio, you can find on YouTube. Just type in Impact Online. Then if you want to see our uninterrupted shows, you can go to our personal YouTube page at Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Yep. And also on the Impact website, there's also
the podcast. Yes.
So, because someone did ask earlier, where do we get that? Those are your three options. Go out there and connect and send it to someone who might be facing some form of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we've left?
Just to pray.
Father God, we want to pray for anyone who's walking through a season of doubt where things feel difficult and they're not sure if they heard from you or they lied to themselves. Father, we pray for faith, we pray for courage, and we pray that we will have the boldness to keep listening and going back like Moses. So Lord, that we won't give up after we've encountered failures or when we think that you have forgotten us.
Mm.
Lord, we pray for strength for all your children who are listening today, that you'll encourage them and you'll give them that last push.
Yes, Lord, your word says that your strength is perfected in our weakness. And so, Father, we connect to this word for everyone that feels weak, everyone that feels tired, disappointed, and even devastated as they wait for the promise, that, Father, the full might of your hand will answer their situation for encouragement, for joy, for fulfillment and accomplishment. We pray this in your holy and mighty name, Jesus, and we all say amen.
Amen. Guys, we'll be waiting for your testimonies. You know, as you go back and you change direction and you start walking by faith, send us your testimonies. Let us all be encouraged, because we all go through those moments when we're tired and we're not sure and we think, oh man, this is the end. So it's always good hearing from you. For myself, Danny Vambili.
And Letitia Vambili.
Thank you for tuning in to 103 FM. And stay tuned. Our next presenter, she's been on fire. She's been touching on topics in relation to man, on topics that are really rebuilding families in our societies. So Zintle is standing by, so you better not change the dial.